how excited. We only got 2 days left in 2020. Somebody say amen. Hey, this next song we're going to sing is called He's Never Failed Me. Brother Jake asked me to introduce it, and I thought about in Sunday school with the teenagers, we're going through the book of Ruth right now. And Ruth and Naomi, they came back from Moab, and they came back to Bethlehem. And when they first got back, the Bible says that Ruth went into the field to get something to eat. And she went to that field just looking for a little bit. And if you know the story, she got a whole lot. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that she went behind the people that were picking the grain or the barley there, and she was just picking up their leftovers. The Bible says that she was introduced to a man by the name of Boaz, which we know to be the kinsman redeemer. Amen. A picture of Christ. The Bible says that that picture of Christ invited her to his house to eat at his table. And the Bible says that she started eating at his table and couldn't even finish what she had on her plate. And so she took leftovers home with her. And the Lord just spoke to me right there. She came to that field looking for leftovers.
Right.
And she left the field with leftovers. Somebody say amen. I remember when I come to Christ, I had nothing to offer. Everything about my life was death. Are y'all with me? Somebody say amen. I was just trying to fill a hole in my life with just a little bit here and a little bit there. And it just wasn't working. But then I met a man named Jesus. And ever since I met Jesus, I've took home more than I can eat. Somebody say amen. He has never failed me one time. I'm a testimony of the grace of God. I'm a testimony of the blessings of God. I came empty and I leave full every time.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus will never fail you, church. I don't care how. Listen, we thought 2020 was hard. Who knows? 2021 might be even harder. But I know one thing. Jesus ain't going to fail us. Somebody say amen. You listen as we sing this song.
Amen.
Mess of this old world. Sometimes I just need a word from heaven to everything. Sometimes I'm so afraid, and I cannot see how God will make a way. But then I think He's never failed me, never left me. Not one time have I cried out, and my voice He has not heard. Start today.
that's a very true statement, because he's never failed me and he won't fail any of y'all. Like Brother Dalton said, it's the last church service of 2020. Yep. And to that I can say amen.
Amen.
And but, you know, there's a lot of things that happened this year that I can say. You know, we look at how bad 2020 is. We could turn around and look at all the storms that God brought us through.
Right.
And, the things we may have seen a little different because we were looking at it. You know, hey, the Gators beat Georgia. Say amen. Come on. I'm just saying right there. That's enough to say amen about right there. But, you know, I was standing there thinking, and, you know, me and Melissa, you know, and Cash, we wound up with COVID. And, you know, as aggravated at the time as I was to have to be quarantined at the house for, that's 14 days I got to spend with just my family.
Right. You know,
with no distractions of the world, no
right.
nothing, just us together. And I tell you what, it made me want to retire if I just stay home all the time.
Right.
Can't do that. But, I mean, that's something I can say amen about. And just over these holidays, I've just spent a lot of time in the woods, and seeing the sun come up and set and different things, just with getting away from the distractions of everything that we've been through this year, and just wanting to say amen about it. And,
right.
you know, be careful not to look at all the negative that the news and everything's just pumping down our throats, and look at everything God's done for you this year and everything he's brought you through. And once you do that, there won't be any doubt you'll say amen.
Yeah.
So
amen.
This is that song we sing.
Amen.
Okay.
This life is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. Right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen him move. Is there anybody here who's found today? Anybody here who knows he's able? Anybody here brought through the fire?
choir. I appreciate that good singing. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26 is where we'll be tonight. Amen. I can say that I am one of those that are very excited to see 2020 leave. I am. I'm thankful that God's done some wonderful things. But it has been a trying year. It's been a very difficult year on the church. And I'm talking about our church. I'm talking about every church. It's just been a very trying year on pastors. I think the effects of this is not yet seen. I think that if we're living in a dream world, if we think that 2021 is just going to be the fix-all and that January the 1st is all going to be good, I think the effects of this year will linger with us into the new year and perhaps on into the future. But I am certainly thankful to be waving goodbye to the year 2020, amen. And that 2020 vision, I'll go ahead and tell y'all this, all right? It was seen through two black eyes. Somebody say amen. It has been rough, all right? I pray that this will be a blessing to you tonight. So we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 26. And we're going to be all over the place. I'm just going to be honest with you. It ain't going to just be in Matthew chapter number 26. We're going to be all around this passage of scripture here in Matthew 26, but this event and other chapters as other books as well, as in John chapter number 13, John chapter 18, John chapter number 21, Luke chapter number 22. We're going to be all over the place, all right? So y'all bear with me. But I wanted to, I entitled this tonight, Take Me Back. How many of y'all has ever felt like that? Amen. This is what I meant by that. Take me back to normal. Take me back to the way it used to be. But there's a danger in the way it used to be. And so we're going to look at that tonight. I want to look at this. I want to look, this take me back, through the life of the Apostle Peter. All right, we're going to take a look through his life at some things that happened with Peter. I think that 2020, if anything, we can all agree on this. And y'all help me. Y'all talk to me if I'm telling it wrong or if you don't quite understand. But I think 2020, this year, has revealed to us the spirituality of the church. I really do. I think that leading up to this year, Brother Scott, what you and I would deem as a successful church and what you and I would call a thriving church, I think God has revealed how spiritually anemic the church is, all right? Now, don't get quiet or, you know, I start thinking that I'm talking about you, okay? So y'all help me. This ain't talking, I ain't beating you down. I'm saying that this year has shown us the spirituality of the church. The people that we thought, the people that you thought were all in and were going to be, that were committed, they've shown that they're not. A lot of people that was with us in the beginning of this thing, in January of this year, February of this year, went missing in March of this year, and we still hadn't seen them back. Some have come back, and they've come back for a time, only to turn around and leave again and be gone again. We had a time there where we really started to see some growth and rebuilding. And I ain't going to say growth because we hadn't had a pile of visitors or anything. We hadn't had a pile of converts or anything of that nature. But we started to see numbers increase and almost to 300 people again on Sunday morning right at it. We were right there from 275 to 325. On Sunday mornings, and then we had another bout, Jesse and them. It was all Jesse's fault, and y'all say amen. And he wanted to have his little fun with the microphone, but when Jesse got COVID, we went from 300 to 120. It's Jesse's fault. Right? I mean, straight out of hell, it was Jesse and his family's fault. And anyhow, I ain't never got to call somebody out in church. That felt good. I felt good about that, all right? Usually I have to do it vaguely, but I actually got to call somebody's name. It was Jesse Cowart's fault, all right? But here's what happened with all of that. This is what was crazy. Jesse called me up, and he was supposed to teach Sunday school that morning. And we had Sunday school teachers here and there, and Jesse, he called me up, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "we think Melissa has COVID. We don't know what to do. What do you want me to do?" I said, "Well, don't come to church. Amen. And what do you want me to do about Sunday school? You ain't teaching Sunday school. Don't worry about it, you know." And we were kind of worried because they was here that Wednesday night. And we said, "You know what? Let's just do this. Instead of putting people in a confined space in Sunday school classrooms, let's just have one service. We'll have a service at 11 a.m. We'll call it that." I'm coming here at 11 a.m. and there was 120 people here. It was like us taking a precaution not to have Sunday school. Everybody got scared. I don't know what happened, but it was gone. It was like, and we're trying to get back, but come on, y'all help me. We have revealed, God has revealed to the church the spirituality of most Christians. We're spiritual as long as everything is going good. We're faithful as long as everybody, come on y'all, help me. Let me say it like this. I think we're a lot like Peter. All right, Peter, let me just read for you if I can, just something here. Let me see if I can find it real quick because I wasn't going to start here. Verse number 30 of Matthew 26. I'm going to read this. This is where I wanted to start. But this is where I'm going to start at. I want you to hear this. The Bible says, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Peter said, hey, let me tell you something, God. I'm going to be there. I don't care. There ain't nothing can drive me away. You couldn't say something that would drive me away. You couldn't send a virus that would drive me away. That's what he was saying. He said, I don't care if everybody in the world's offended by you. I'm not leaving you. And ain't that pre-COVID what a lot of Christians had in their mind? I'm not getting on to them because we know that Peter failed too. That's what the whole sermon's about tonight, okay? The fact is that Peter boasted of, hey, I'll never leave you. I'll be there with you. I'd go to the death with you. And then we found out real quick, Peter was like, I don't even know who he is, right? And I think that through the life of Peter, we can see exactly the spiritual decline of the church. I think through this incident, I don't think you have to go through the whole life of Peter, Brother Scott. I think just this incident shows us, just this little passage of scripture, just this little piece right here, shows us the spiritual decline of a Christian. And it shows us the indicators. That's what I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to give you 7 indicators of the decline of a Christian. But that ain't the whole sermon. That's just the introduction. Is everybody all right? I'll go through them very quickly, so y'all got to stay with me. But I want you to see Peter's mindset was, I'm going to be with you no matter what. And then we know, every one of us knows the story, that Peter denied him 3 times. But I want you to notice, when I read to you, I want you to notice he was emphatic. He was committed. I believe that Peter said this with a full heart, and he meant it. At the time, I believe that he felt like that's where he was spiritually. I don't think Peter was just lying. I don't think Peter was thinking, I ain't hanging out with you, man. But I'll tell you, hey, I'll be with you, man. Knowing that he wasn't going to be, I really believe that Peter in his heart believed
that no matter what came against them, he was going to stand by Christ. Understand this. Of all the disciples, Peter was the one that identified him as the Son of God. Jesus said, whom do men say that I am? And Jesus said, and they went through Elias and all this other thing. He said, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Peter thought he was dealing with. That's who Peter looked at when he seen Jesus. He seen the Messiah, and he seen the Son of God, God himself. Matter of fact, he said, I remember in John chapter number 6, Jesus said, most of his disciples left, and Jesus said, will you leave too? And it was Peter that said, to whom do we go? For thou hast the words of life, eternal life, I believe he said. Peter knew who he was dealing with, and I believe Peter had a heart that said, I'm going to be there. But when the virus came, Peter said, I don't even know who you are, man. Peter put on his mask. He said, I'm having fun with this. Anybody else having fun? Peter said, I'm going to do some social distancing. Is everybody all right? I didn't plan to say all that, but it fits, all right? And so he says this. He says, though all men should be offended because of you, or thee, yet will I never be offended. This is verse number 34. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus said, easy, big boy. He said, I'm telling you right now, before morning, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Now, Peter knew that he was dealing with the Son of God. You would have thought he would have said, yes, sir. Not Peter. Everybody read me? Peter says unto him, verse number 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Did y'all get that? Not only did Peter say that, but all the disciples said, hey, man, we're going to the death with you. We're going to be there. All right. Now, just a little background of what we're doing here. This is the night before or the night of Jesus' arrest. So this is going on after the Last Supper. So just to get the chain of events of where we're at, we had the Last Supper. Now they moved to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in all this time, all these things are taking place that we're going to talk about tonight. And Peter's saying, I'm not going to deny you. And all the disciples said, I'm going to go to the death with you. And that night, just a few hours later, all of them ran for their life. Yeah, they all ran for their life. And Jesus was taken by one that had, is anybody with me right here, had walked with him for 3 years. One that had sat under his teaching for 3 years turned and betrayed him. But all the other disciples, don't put them up on a pedestal, because all of them said, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. They were gone. Everybody with me? All right, so let's get to these indicators, because that's not the sermon. This is just getting us to the sermon. So how, preacher, how do we know? How can we see? What's some indicators of spiritual decline in the church? Can we see that? Yes, we can. We can see it in this event in Peter's life. So what are some of these indicators? All right. This is good. Y'all stay with me. All right. There's one that I left out. I left out. I just realized it, and I can't put it in there. Hopefully my mind will get to it here in a moment. And I can figure out how to fit it all in there. But if not, I'll just give it to you, okay? So number one, I see this. There was a refusal to serve. It was an indicator of spiritual decline. This was the climax of spiritual decline in Peter's life this night when he denied Jesus three times. It was a climax. But there was indicators leading up to it. And the first indicator was a refusal to serve. So where do we find that? I'm glad you asked. John chapter number 13. So at the supper, and I ain't got time to read all of it, but at the supper, the Bible tells us, and we all know this, that Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet. right? All right, Jesus got up to wash the disciples' feet. We know in Luke chapter number 7, when Peter was invited, or not Peter, but Jesus was invited to Simon the Pharisee's house, that when he went there, there was a woman that came in and she began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and dry his feet with her hair. And Jesus rebuked the Pharisee and he said, Simon, seest thou this woman? He said, I entered your house and you offered me no water for my feet. No towel to wash. Why did Jesus say that? Because it was a custom that when they came together for supper, that their feet was washed. And now we have in John chapter number 13, the Last Supper, 12 disciples. Jesus is in the midst. There's at least 13 people there, but it is the Master who is washing the feet of the disciples. Why? Because the disciples refused to serve one another. They refused to serve one another. You want to know an indicator of spiritual decline in your life? Is a refusal to serve. When you think that the menial is too low for you, the washing of feet is done by a servant, not done by a disciple. The washing of feet is done by a new member, not somebody that's been here the whole time. The washing of feet is done by somebody that's a new Christian, not a Sunday school teacher. Choir director, sorry, Jake, a choir member or whatever, whatever ministry you hold around here. When we refuse to serve one another, it's an indicator of a spiritual decline. You know what? One of the first things that happened when all this happened with COVID, you know what? One of the first things that happened with the people in the church? People started calling and backing out of ministries that they were doing. We're going to be safe. We're going to play it safe. And we're gonna come to church. We plan on being their preacher, but we're not gonna be able to do this, and we're not gonna be able to do that. We're just playing it safe until all this passes over, right? And then, is everybody okay? Because this is where people are gonna get offended. Then I see all your social media posts about where you're at eating and all these other things, and it doesn't bother you to be out there mingling with people? Touching door handles that people have touched and licked and everything else, and you're up there holding it. Is everybody all right? But it's the church that's going to get me all COVIDed. That's a good word. It's a good word. I like it. I'm going to have to remember that, COVIDed. Hey. A spiritual decline in the Christian is shown in a refusal to serve. And we see this in Peter. At the beginning of this night, Peter refused to serve. Peter was too high to serve. He was the one that was going to go all the way. But he wouldn't even wash the disciples' feet. Right? All right, so we see a refusal to serve. Now, another indicator was this, a rejection of instruction. It happened all at the same time. Because Jesus got up and he started to wash the feet of the disciple, and he got to Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, whoa, now, you ain't going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, hey, if I don't wash you, he said, or Peter said, let's see, in verse number 6, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus says, I'm fixing to teach you a lesson. I'm fixing to teach you a lesson. That's what he's saying. He said, you don't know what I'm doing right now. He said, but you're fixing to know. You're going to know hereafter. Okay? This is what Peter saith unto him. Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Right? Peter, hey, listen, not only see a refusal to serve, but we see a rejection of instruction. And man, is that not, come on, y'all got to help me. The spiritual decline of a Christian is seen in a refusal to serve and a rejection of instruction. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I know where I'm supposed to be on Sunday morning, but I know what, is everybody all right? Don't get quiet on me right here. Listen, don't be offended by this. See, that's an indicator. a spiritual decline. We've had people leave the church because they got offended by something I said. That's an indicator of spiritual decline. I'm tired of apologizing for speaking truth. If you don't like it, then I can't do nothing about it. You got to, at some point in your life, you have to evaluate yourself. We're getting to that with Peter. Because at one point in Peter's life, he had to evaluate who he really was. But the spiritual indicators leading up to his spiritual decline, the greatest spiritual decline of Peter's life, happened, the climax of it, happened on the night that he denied Jesus three times. But there was indicators that he was headed in that direction. He refused to serve. He rejected instruction. Number three, he had a ruffled attitude. I told you I was getting to it. Yeah. Jesus said, all y'all going to be offended by me tonight. Peter said, I ain't. Is everybody all right?
Oh, bless God, I ain't going to be offended.
It's Peter. That's how people do.
Well, that preacher said this or
that preacher said that. Why is it that you get all mad at me? Why is it that you get mad at me? You can get cussed out in Walmart and you still walk your sorry butt up there and pay for something. I say something that you don't like in the sermon and all of a sudden it's this grand scheme to just get everybody to quit going to church. What's the deal? All these tough guys.
Bless God, I can't believe preacher. He said that to me, I'll punch him in the mouth.
And they're the ones that's leaving the church and don't say nothing to nobody. Boy, you real spiritual, just walk out and go to another church. Yeah. Yeah, and then act like you did the Christ-like thing. I believe the Bible says, you got something wrong with me, come say something to me. Had somebody tell me one time, but you intimidate people. I'm not the one intimidating. The fact that you're leaving wrong is what's intimidating. The fact that I ain't got no problem with you leaving. I don't. I don't have no problem with somebody leaving. I hate it. I don't want to see it. But if you feel like that there's somewhere else out there that's better for you, then who am I to argue with that? But don't leave the church and then run your mouth about how I done something. We get this ruffled attitude like we're supposed to come to church and it's supposed to be our way. Is everybody all right? I remember that. Y'all remember the commercial, the Burger King commercial? Have it your way. That's how we want church. That's how we want church. Well, hey, preacher, I take that quarter pounder with cheese, but leave off the onions. I don't want any tomatoes. I don't want any lettuce. I need somebody to help me. I don't like no mustard. Hey, I don't like no mayonnaise. Leave the mayonnaise off. Mayonnaise is bad for you. So is that quarter pounder cheeseburger. Is everybody all right? You gonna save yourself a couple of ounces by not eating mayonnaise? You're good for you. Amen. Quarter pounder with cheese, a large fry, and a Diet Coke. Everybody all right? Hey, and a Diet Coke. And y'all give me one of them apple pies. Y'all got one of them hot apple pies. Sir, the Diet Coke machine is down. I'll take water then. That's enough. Is everybody all right? Just guzzle it down. Take your Coke and go on, all right? Hypocrite. A ruffled attitude. Peter had a ruffled attitude. Jesus said, all y'all going to be offended by me tonight. I ain't gonna be offended by you. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go with you wherever you go. I'll go with you to death. How about this one? Is everybody ready? This is where I gotta add one. And I don't have it, brother. I thought of it while I was sitting up here and I tried to find it on my phone. I tried to go through the thesaurus and I just couldn't do it. One of y'all can pick it out and y'all can give it to me. All right, but here it is. This is the same place where Jesus goes into the garden and asks them to tarry and watch. And they fell asleep. I missed that one. Brother Herman, I got to go back. I'm going to have eight indicators. Hey, he goes back. Jesus asked him to do one thing, Brother Scott. Just something simple. He didn't ask him to move the world. He didn't ask him to build a church. He didn't ask him to build a Sunday school class. He didn't ask him to do it. He just asked them to wait right here and watch. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Bible says that he come back and they were sleeping. The Lord knows an indicator of a spiritual decline is one that sleeps. Just a small command. It's amazing to me. He didn't ask them to move the world. He just said, watch. Hey, there's a lot of people, God ain't asking them to be a Sunday school teacher here. God's not asking them to be some kind of great spiritual leader here. All God wants them to be is faithful. But they can't. I'll just say it like this. They need their sleep. But all right? All right, now we'll get to the other one. Now, I get back on the arts. Is everybody ready? How about this one? A spiritual indicator is a reckless temperament. A reckless temperament. All right? So we're working towards spiritual decline. We're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes. He comes with all the soldiers. And in Luke chapter number 22, let me get over there real quick because I want to read this because most people don't even know this. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse number 49. And when, let me go up to verse number 47. All right? I'm getting to 49 and 50. In verse 47, and while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Now listen to what's said right here. And when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? I miss that. The disciples asked Jesus, God, you want us to kill him? Did y'all see that? I don't think I've ever seen that in scripture. But the disciples said, say the word. Here it is. Say when. Right? I mean, how many of y'all have seen that in scripture before? How many of y'all have seen in scripture before where the disciples asked Jesus, you want us to kill him? No, ain't none of y'all seen it. Is everybody all right? I ain't seen it. I was like, what? They asked, hey, you want us to smite him with the sword? We'll deal with this crowd. Just say when. Give us the word, Lord. And this is what Jesus said, this is what happened. And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Guess who that was? Simon Peter. Huh? The disciples said, hey, you want us to kill him? While Peter was pulling the sword out. Cut off Malchus's ear. Yeah. A reckless temperament. Uh-huh. Wasn't going to wait for instruction on the Lord. He was completely acting out of emotion. Is everybody all right? Boy, you want to talk about a spiritual decline? How many people aren't waiting on the voice of the Lord anymore? Lord, you want us to kill him? Why, you've already stabbed them four times. Now, I'm waiting to hear from you, Lord. Reckless temperament. Goodness. We ain't get enough sermons on waiting. Many of us don't know how to wait on the Lord. We rush into something. We start stabbing it. We start slicing it and dicing it. And then ask God, hey, can you fix this? A reckless temperament. We do something that we think God would approve of, and yet God never instructed us to do it. I'm going to move on, all right? These are good. A refusal to serve, a rejection of instruction, a ruffled attitude, a reckless temperament, number whatever. Five, a retracted walk. A retracted walk. Matthew chapter number 26 and in verse number 58, I want you to listen to the word. But Peter followed him afar off. An indicator of spiritual decline is when we start backing off. Now, listen, let's put this in perspective. This was the same dude that seen Jesus walking on the water in the storm and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Think about it. Peter said, hey, I'd rather be out there with you in the storm on the water than over here with these guys in the boat. Safe. Same guy. Now the Bible says he's following afar. And how many people do you and I know that got into this thing gung-ho? Bid me to come. Preacher, I'm ready. Say when. Now, as I like to say, you can't find them with a good hunting dog. Ready to serve God. God fixed their marriage. God saved their kids. God saved them. God did something special in their life, but now you can't find them anywhere. Let me take that back. You can find them. Just they're far off. A retracted walk. Is everybody ready? We'll keep going. A recanted word. A refusal to serve, a rejection of instruction, a ruffled attitude, a reckless temperament, a retracted walk, and a recanted word. I notice his recanted word, his denial. He lied about being with them. In Luke chapter number 22, when they come up to Peter and they said, hey, you were with them. Peter said, nah, not me, man. You followed them. Peter said, nah, not me. You got it wrong. So he lied about being with them. Spiritual decline is one of them funny things. At first you identify with the church and then all of a sudden, I ain't going down there. He lied about being with them. He lied about being a disciple. They asked him point blank in John chapter number 18 and verse number 25. Aren't you one of the disciples? One of his disciples? Peter said, not me, man. I don't know him. He lied about knowing him in Luke and in Mark and in Matthew chapter 26, verse 72 and verse 74. He said, I know not the man. They kept saying, don't you? Aren't you? Don't we know? I know him not. He said, I ain't been with them. I ain't one of his disciples. I don't even know who he is. His denial, his disrespect. This was the same one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But here, I know not that man. That man. That man. This was the same disciple that said, you are God. Is now saying, I don't know who this man is. No, this is good. I like it, all right? I shared it with Brother Matthew Browder, and he really loved it. He got saved last night. Hey, his denial, his disrespect, his defilement. I think y'all know where I'm going with this. The Bible says that Peter began to curse and said, man, I know him not. Woo! We're talking about the sweet voice that would preach Pentecost and 3,000 people would get saved. It's cussing at those around the fire saying, I done told you. I know not this man. A recanted word. And then lastly, and this happened after, but y'all ready? This is number 7 or 8. A reverted lifestyle. So I want you to turn to John chapter number 21 with me, and we'll end right here, okay? In this scripture, we ain't ending right now. John chapter number 21. We're going to end in this scripture. So we see, I'll get there sooner or later. I got a new Bible, y'all. I got my pages. I ain't got them all worked out yet. John chapter number 21. So in John chapter number 21, in verse number 6, no, it ain't that. Verse number 3, the Bible says this, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. See, we followed Peter through his denial, and that was a climax of his spiritual decline, but it led to him reverting back to his old lifestyle. When he should have been waiting on Jesus, Peter said, hey, I'm going fishing. Oh, and let me go ahead and let me share this with y'all. He took some of the other disciples with him. See, it ain't just you that's going to get out. You're going to take those that you influence, your circle are going to go with you. I've seen it over and over. We get people, they get mad with me and they leave the church and they call people in the church and ask them to leave. And then they leave and then they burn a bridge or whatever. They're too embarrassed to come back and they've allowed somebody to get them out of a place where they were being spiritually fed. And now they done been to about 10 other different churches. They still ain't found their church, the one that gives it to them their way with the mustard and the mayonnaise and the ketchup. Is everybody all right? And so they're still out there on this roller coaster. And they've taken some families with them. We had some fools. They were calling around. They called Sean Gay and told him that I kicked him out of the church. Sure enough, Sean Gay called me up. He said, "Be crying. I ain't kidding. There's some people that love our church." He called me up crying. He said, "Preacher, you kicked me out of the church?" "No, I ain't kicked you out of the church. Shut up, man. I'm playing golf." Seriously, I thought he was joking. I thought this was a joke. Somebody left our church, called him up, told him I kicked him out of the church. Yeah. So you know what I did? I called the person that called him. See, I'll handle it face to face. I don't mind. I don't mind a bit. I'll do my best to handle it spiritually and biblically. So I called. I like to punch him in the mouth. I called and I said, I'd like to know where you're getting your information about me kicking somebody out of my church. They blamed it on their kid. My youngin' heard it at school. Is everybody all right? I'm going to say something. I'm getting up. I'm ready. Y'all ready? Hey, somebody, my youngin' heard it at school. So they left right out of here and run right down there to Enoch Creek. Oh, that great church over there at Enoch Creek. Zach ain't called me one time. Got several families out of our church left out of here mad at me. They ain't never called me one time. They take anybody to leave our church and give them a tithe. Then get over there and start calling people in our church and asking them to leave. You can tell Zach I said so. I love the boy, but that's wrong. But I don't expect nothing different than any preacher from any preacher in this area. Spiritual decline of the church seen in the leadership of the church. A reverted lifestyle. Now, I said all that to get all through them indicators to get to something that I think is very important. I called this a converted disciple, and I'll be done. Jesus told Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Peter was converted after his spiritual decline. Jesus wasn't telling him when you get saved. I believe Jesus was saying, when you get committed, strengthen the brethren. And that's exactly what Peter did. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the greatest spiritual decline that we see in Peter's life happened on this night. And we see all these indicators. But in John chapter number 21, when he had gone back to his old ways, guess who showed up? The Bible says that Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. All right? But, verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Stay with me. Here we go. First off, I want you to notice that Jesus came to him. I want you to know something today. I don't care where you are at in this progression, what spiritual indicator you are at in your spiritual decline with Jesus. If you're watching somewhere else, if you're listening to the podcast, Jesus will come to you. He did. Jesus came to where they were. That might not mean nothing to you, but it means a whole lot to me, because there's been several times in my life since I've gotten saved that I've gotten sideways with God, gotten away from God, only for God to show up in the middle of my mess, in the middle of my pity party, to show up and, number two, reveal himself to me. Jesus showed up and Jesus revealed himself to him. You might, the beginning or the end of verse number 4 says, they knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him. I'm not going to read that. We're going to go on. But here's what happened. And I think there's a lot more to this than just the scripture here. The Bible says that when John told Jesus it was the Lord, that Peter jumped out of the boat. But if you go back in the beginning of Peter's life and with Christ, one of the first episodes, Jesus gets on the boat with Peter and he says, thrust out a little bit. And Jesus talked. And then Jesus got off the boat and he said, hey, go back out there and launch out. He said, launch out into the deep and cast your nets. Peter said, man, we fished all night. We didn't catch anything. Y'all, are y'all hearing me? We fished all night. We didn't catch anything. Jesus just asked him, y'all got any meat? No, we fished all night. We ain't caught nothing. He said, throw that net on the other side of the boat. The Bible says they wasn't even able to pull the net in. Y'all listen now. I believe that Jesus revealed himself to Peter through a net. The Bible says that John told him, hey, it's the Lord. But I think as soon as Peter threw that net on the other side of the boat in the daytime and caught all them fish, he knew exactly who was up there on that shore. Because this wasn't his first rodeo. This wasn't his first time being told to launch out into the deep and throw it over to the... This wasn't the first time. So why did Peter react differently than everybody else? I need somebody to help me. Hey, John said, hey, it's the Lord. And everybody else was like, cool, help us pull these fish in. Peter was like, where's my coat? I'm naked. I don't even understand that. All I can say is, when you revert back to your old lifestyle, don't be surprised when the clothes start coming off. Is everybody all right? What I do know is this, that when as soon as John said it was Jesus, the rest of the disciples was like, hey, y'all help us pull this net in. Peter was like, I can't stay in this boat. Y'all better, y'all, are y'all hearing me? The Bible says that Peter put on his fisher's coat and jumped in the water and swam to shore. Why did he do that? Because he knew who he was dealing with. Jesus came to him. Jesus revealed himself to him. Number three, Jesus invited him. In verse number 10, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not, or was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto him, or them, come and dine. Oh, I need, y'all better hear this. Jesus came to where he was at in the spiritual decline and the lowest part of his life. Jesus came to where he was at. Jesus revealed himself to Peter in a way that Peter, only Peter knew what was going on. And then Jesus said, hey, I still want to fellowship with you. Y'all better hear me right now. As bad as it looked for Peter the night before, as bad as it looked in Peter's life, Jesus came to where he was at. Jesus revealed himself to him and he said, I still want to fellowship with you. I still want to commune with you. But then the Bible, I want you to notice this. Not only did Jesus come to him, Jesus revealed himself to him, Jesus invited him, but Jesus restored him. Yeah, Jesus restored him with three questions. Lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, I love you. He said, feed my sheep or feed my lambs. You can read the story. He said, lovest thou me? You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Third time Jesus asked, lovest thou me? Peter's like, Lord, you know all things. You know I love. Y'all hear me right here. It was three times that Jesus got him to profess his love for him. It was three times he denied him. Don't miss this. Jesus did this in the company of all the disciples. I don't know that those three questions worked for the disciples more than Peter. I'm sure word had got around, Brother Scott, that Peter had denied Jesus three times and went out and wept bitterly. And Jesus three times said, you love me? You know I love you. You love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? Now, don't miss this, because I believe it shows Peter's spiritual evaluation of himself. Remember, this was the man that said, though all be offended, I ain't going to leave you. But listen to what he said to Jesus. You know it's all done. I'm not going to sit here and say, I love you. Matter of fact, Jesus asked him first two times using the word agape. And Peter answered him all three times using the word for love, phileo. Peter wouldn't say, I don't love you a lot. He was just saying, I can't boast of an unconditional love. Y'all, I can't boast of an unconditional love because I've seen myself. Woo! He said, I've seen myself in my worst condition. And he says, and I know what I'm capable of. And as much as I'd love to say, I love you unconditionally, he says, I have been in a place where I've seen that my love has limits. Boy, that ain't ever hit me like it hit me in study. Peter, this is a whole change in Peter's life, but it never would have happened without a spiritual decline. Listen, don't get upset about spiritual declines, because sometimes it's the spiritual decline that leads us to the greatest commitment. There's indicators of a spiritual decline, but y'all don't miss out on God restoring and converting the one who falls. Hey, Jesus restored him, and the whole time he was restoring him, Brother Scott, he was commissioning him. Love us out of me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend to... Oh, I need somebody to help me. He said, I got a job for you, Peter. This is where that post I put on Facebook come from, my heart. It doesn't matter about the sheep. It doesn't matter about feeding the sheep. It doesn't matter about anything else until I get thou lovest me. Lovest thou me has to be answered in my life. And it has to be answered correctly. I can't put anything else before God. But if I put everything in order and I get him first, then I can achieve the purpose that God has for my life. See, I'm sorry, y'all. We might run a little long. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get out. But this is good. This is what you need here. Jesus didn't say, you sorry for what you did? Jesus didn't say, you want me to forgive you? Jesus didn't say, somebody got it. Y'all got to help me right here. Jesus didn't say, hey, you repent. You regret what you did? Hey, did you ask me for forgiveness? Did you say I'm sorry? Jesus didn't say none of that. What did he ask him? Love is thou me? Man, that was good to me. God. Woo, that was good to me. Lovest thou me? God didn't beat him over the head with what he'd done wrong. He just said, do you love me? Here's the man, you know I love you. I need somebody to help me right here. Before we start bashing old Peter, he was the only one that jumped out of the boat and swam to land. I think Peter proved he loved him. As a matter of fact, there's an argument there that Peter loved him more than any other disciple in that boat. More than once, you make the argument that Peter loved him more than any of the other disciples. In his darkest hour, in his weakest moment, in his greatest spiritual failure, God come to him with, love us, I mean. That'll fix everything. It'll fix it all. Love is not me. And lastly, Jesus focused him. Don't miss this. Peter said, what about John? Jesus said, what does it matter about John? What is it to you if he lives forever? Listen, Jesus said, you follow me. That's what he said. What does it matter about John? You follow me. Not me, Jesus. Everybody got that? That's what Jesus is saying. Hey, what does it matter what everybody else is doing? What does it matter what Jesse's doing? What does it matter what Brother Scott's doing? What does it matter what Brother Dalton's doing? What does it matter what Brother Robbie's doing? What does it matter Brother Sheldon's doing? What does it matter, Brother Stick? You follow him. Hey, praise God. I wish I had three services to preach that sermon. I needed it. because I have seen the indicators of spiritual decline in my life over this year. And I know that if I'm seeing some of the indicators, then you are too. Before you get off,
though everybody fall in spiritual decline, I'll never do it.
Ain't none of us jumped out of the boat and walked on water. I need somebody to say amen. It's hard for me to believe that somebody that ain't surrendered their life completely to the Lord can boast about their love for the Lord.
Preacher.
I'm not called to preach. I ain't saying nothing about being called to preach. I said surrender their life to the Lord. I believe that's the duty of every Christian. Can y'all handle an invitation or y'all just want to leave out of here? Do y'all need an invitation? Dalton, come play the piano. Won't you come? Deal with it now. Where you at? Lovest thou me? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Oh, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for, Lord, being real tonight. Lord, I thank you for your presence here. Lord, thank you for helping me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll take the things that were said, the scripture that was used, grave it upon our hearts. Lord, I pray as we leave out of here that we not walk away from what we heard tonight. God, I pray that we realize that there's a real danger of spiritual decline in our lives. Lord, I pray that we also realize that there's a real restoration that you want to do in our lives. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd convert us, commission us, Lord, that we would commit. Lord, I pray that we'd take the things that we heard tonight as a warning. But Lord, take the things that we heard tonight as an encouragement. God, I pray that we fall deeper in love with you, knowing our frailty, knowing the possibilities, Lord, of our failures. May they be what drives us closer to you. Lord, I pray tonight that some would jump out of the boat, swim as fast as they can, Lord, and get to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I've struggled. I'm not going to stand up here and lie. I'm not going to stand up here in a prayer and lie. I've struggled. I've been hurt. Things have definitely not been what I envisioned for 2020. I've been discouraged, betrayed. Folks that I thought would be there to the end, Lord, they're gone. But Lord, through tonight, I feel that there's a promise. Lord, that you'll find me, you'll come to me. Lord, if you'll restore Simon Peter, then God, I feel certain, Lord, that you're able to restore those that have gone, those that are here.
Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, Lord. Use this sermon tonight. Lord, to help us grow spiritually and avoid